My sermon title this morning is Giggle. Now, for those that are in IT, you should know this term because it is a term coming from the IT side of things. It is a, you will see it there now on the top of the scale there, Giggle, which means garbage in, garbage out. All right, so understand what the IT guy says, that if, you know, whatever you input into a computer is what you're going to receive out. It is very true. It is very true that what we put into our lives is what we actually get out. But I want to start off this morning by reading Daniel 5. Now, Daniel is one of those books, very interesting. I mean, love Daniel. And I want to pick up the story there in chapter 5. Obviously, there's a lot we can read for context here, but I just want to focus on a short piece here. And it says, King Belshazzar made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in front of the 1,000. Quite an impressive and big party there, 1,000 people attending. Belshazzar went, when he tasted the wine, commanded that the vessels of gold and silver that Nebuchadnezzar his father had taken out of the temple in Jerusalem be brought, that the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. Then they brought in the golden vessels that had been taken out of the temple, the house of God in Jerusalem, and the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines drank from them. They drank wine and praised the God of gold and silver and bronze and iron and wood and stone. And immediately, this must have been quite scary, the finger of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, opposite the lampstand. It's interesting that it's opposite the lampstand, because otherwise they wouldn't have seen it. They didn't have lights like we do. And the king saw the hand as it wrote. Then the king's color changed and his thoughts alarmed him. His limbs gave way and his knees knocked together. What an interesting encounter with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords here. It must have been quite scary. But before I get into that portion of scripture, I want to ask you a question. What is your weight? Now, in our culture, it's not a question you ask, and especially not to the lady, is what is your weight? Are you light or are you heavy? Where are you at this moment? Or are you healthy or are you unhealthy? Now, being this time of the year, I know a lot of people, you know, look at last year, look at December, they go, you know, we ate way too much and this is time to fix this now. So we're going on a diet. We're going to get our bodies back into shape. Everybody starts running around like mad things, you know. Even in the mornings, it's interesting to see how much more people there are that is actually jogging and exercising. The thing that we need to tell us what our weight is, of course, is we need to get into a scale. We need to get a scale to check what is our weight. Now, generally, although we all want to deny it, scales don't lie. So, we bought a scale a couple of, what's it, about two, three years ago. You know, in a similar fashion, had sort of this plan. We're gonna lose weight now, and you know, it's very hard to try and do a lifestyle change, not a diet. I don't believe in diets, but to do a lifestyle change and then kind of know, are you progressing? You know, we kind of feel ourselves. You know, is stuff going down? You know, is the cheeks going down? What's happening? So we bought the scale. And then you get on that thing. And I don't know if you've noticed it, but like I said, they don't lie. You don't necessarily like the figures that gets kicked out there, but the thing is, they don't lie. I must say, they don't lie if they calibrate it correctly. If a scale is out, yes, then it does lie. So over the past week or so, yeah, it's about a week, we decided, you know, we want to really just make a bit of a lifestyle change and yeah, lose a bit of the December additions to our bodies. And I, over the last week or so, saw the effects of that which we eat. You know, that which you put in your body. And it's interesting, now this thing that we're on is quite severe in the sense that, you know, it's like you eat mere bokkos. You know, it's salads, lots of salads, and there's some meat at least, praise the Here. But I saw the effects on just eating less of the good stuff, in that the fact that the scale now says that there's progress, you know, that you're losing some weight. So obviously the idea is not to just do that for short term, but to keep these things up. All right, so now food and activity in our lives as humans determine what we look like and what we eat. You know, for some of us, you know, what you eat doesn't affect you, and we don't like those people, but for most of us, what you eat actually affects your body. The lack of food is just as bad as the abundance thereof. The lack of exercise can be, you know, if you overdo exercise, can also be detrimental. And I think it's that place of getting to that space where, you know, it's not an issue, if I can put it that way, but you are having, if we can call it, a balanced lifestyle. So how much do you weigh? And then I want to change that question and not focus so much on your body and who you are, but spiritually. What do you weigh? You know, that scale that I have there as a needle and goes from light to heavy. What do you weigh? What is the weight of your faith at the moment? You last week in the couch session, we looked a bit at the promises of God, exploring the promises of God and saying that we need to meditate on those things. And if we meditate on the promises of God, that is the things, the type of things that are going to help us to stand at the end of 2021. Because we get so much information that is coming our way, we need to focus on the promises. And I think it was in this week or last week, I came across this this quote, which blessed me so much, and I want to read it to you. It says this: faith must be fed. So your faith and my faith needs food. And the truth of God's word is the only food it can digest. I loved it because it's so true. We cannot grow our faith with any other thing than the Word of God. The Word of God is the only thing that our faith can digest, that can help our faith to become strong, that can allow us to fulfill the call and the destiny that God has on our lives. And as I look around you, and I'm sure you're saying the same thing, but you see people actually starting to question things even at this time, and listening to so much other or eating from other tables that their faith is actually taking strain. And I need to feed my faith with the Word of God. I need to make sure that my diet is correct. If I do not grow by faith, and if I just stagnate, it means that I'm not digesting the right stuff. And the thing here is, this is not the church's responsibility. This is not the pastor or your small group leader or your parents' responsibility to ensure that you are consuming the right stuff, that you are feeding your diet. There is a great responsibility on you. Yes, there's power and community, and as we come together, we you know, like iron sharpens iron, we challenge one another, we inspire one another, we help one another to grow in faith. But the responsibility of your diet, your faith diet, is yours. You know, so many times, and in the time that I've been a pastor, you know, you put so many opportunities out there for people to engage, to grow in their faith. Then people choose not to be there. And then later you will have a conversation, or you will hear that they're struggling and stuff, and then, you know, one of the things that you can see is, but like Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit. And then you look and you see, but the faith is low. But sometimes there's other circumstances that really gets us, and you know, trials and these things can really get under our skin sometimes. But what's the diet looking like at that time? So if we like look at weight, the definition of weight, and this is a short definition. When I looked this up, it was quite lengthy, and I kind of just took the crux of it, and it says the heaviness of a person or thing. The heaviness of a person or thing. That is your weight. What is the heaviness, the weight of your faith? For most of us, we can tell you quite quickly what is our weight. Many of us go, I am overweight, you know. Some of us go like, I don't have an issue. In our house, Jamel reminds us consistently that he doesn't have a problem. And the rest of us like, shush, get away from us. All right? He's the only one that seems to be able to get up and you know, go. He can run around the block and come back and look like he's done nothing. The rest of us, when we attempt anything like that, it looks like we died. So he reminds us of these things. So we need to realize we cannot grow our faith on the wrong diet. So who decides what the right weight is? You know, if we look at society, we see on the adverts and everything that you know, it's always the slim people. Even when they advertise a diet product, there's never someone that is overweight on there. There's someone that looks like what you want to achieve on there. And it's like the world is saying to us that the perfect weight is you need to be this thick. You need to be thin. You need to, you know, you need to fit in a small. And that's not the reality of life. Reality is that, you know, we get different bone builds and stuff like that. And the perfect weight, my perfect weight is not the same as Jamel's perfect weight. Because we are built differently. Yet, we, you know, in society, we kind of use the extreme as the measurement. But what does God say? What is His standard? And how does He determine our weight? When is He happy with our faith? You know, because I think if we use the wrong standard, like in the old days when a scale was out, they used to have a standard that they place on the scale and then calibrate the scale so that when you weigh stuff, you know it is correct. And I think so much in life, so many people in life at the moment is using either faulty scales or the wrong scales to weigh where they are, even in their walk with Christ. So to get back to our story with Daniel there, and if you go read the story, and you know, when I read it again, I actually was so struck about, you know, the magnitude of what happened there, but also the sadness of what happens in Daniel 5. Now in Daniel 5 verse 26, Daniel starts, he says what it's, the meaning is of this. And the first one is Mena, which is God has numbered your days, numbered the days of your kingdom and brought it to an end. Not news that any of us would want anytime soon. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Peres, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. What sad news for Belshazzar to get, in that God has numbered his days and said, listen buddy, it is over. Your kingdom, your rule, your reign has been brought to an end. You have been weighed and you've been found wanting. You know, and as I read that, I realized that even in our day and age, as people are going about the business, I'm standing here now, and I cannot tell you how many cars is at Makri. The parking lot is full. People are going about their business. People are prioritizing different things. But God is weighing every person, every heart. If you go look at scripture, God so many times says that he weighs the heart of the people. And people are going about, and I'm just wondering, I'm thinking of this and I'm going, how many people are going to get surprised when God weighs them? When their faith suddenly, that which they believed in, doesn't make it, and make it, it is wanting. And God then says, listen, I've taken this, your kingdom, and I've divided it. Now, if you read that story, Nebuchadnezzar, if you remember correctly, exalted himself. He walked out onto his patio the one day and said, you know, wow, look at all I've achieved. It's so amazing. You know, I've got all these riches and I'm so blessed. And he was warned by that, by thinking like that by the prophet. And then in that moment, God judged him and he became like an animal. And he was roaming around with ate grass and everything until the day that he recognized that the Lord God Almighty was God of heaven and earth. And then God restored everything to him. Now, here, his son, who from a distance saw all this happen, saw everything that his father was going through. Can you imagine your father suddenly walking around on fours, all fours, eating grass, looking like an animal, and you know, embarrassing for one, but that is terrible. And then God restores everything to him, all his kingdom, his riches, and everything into it that he had. And he proclaimed and made known that God of heaven is Lord of all. What did Belshazzar see there? He saw his father living in a certain way, God bringing him to his knees, and then God restoring him when he acknowledges him. And yet in the story, we see him here with all his chummies, he's all of the prominent people in his day, eating and drinking, and then he has the audacity to let the ornaments from God's house be brought so that they can drink from it. And almost saying, God, I don't care about you. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm just going to have fun. And then God just. Now, can you imagine being at that party? You know, it's lekker, it's a good vibe, everything is going great. And then suddenly this hand appears and it starts writing in the plaster in the middle of this party. Now it only speaks about the king that was freaked out, but can you imagine the guests? If I was there, I think I would have left. Because that would have just been weird. You know, today we'd say, yes, you know, check the CGI, and this is amazing, you know, hologram technology. You know, that we might explain it that way, but for them that it was incredible, it was completely weird. And then the king suddenly, you know, like it says, his color changed, and he got all the enchanters and the wise men in, and they need to explain what is happening. And then Daniel, it's interesting to note that the queen gives testimony of Daniel's life in that, let me put it here, in him is the spirit of the holy gods, was her words. This man who is walking with God, who's lived a life that they can see that there's wisdom. It also speaks there that there's light. The king actually says there's testimony that there is light in you. And he is brought in to explain to the king or interpret what is happening. The interesting thing here is that just after that, he was killed. His kingdom came to an end. Like I said, for me, when I read that and I was thinking about this weighing and so on, just even for my own life and for us as a family, if God weighs us, what does he see? You know, are we weighing correctly when it comes to faith and our walk in faith before him? You know, for some of us, you are maybe a first generation Christian. Others might be third or fourth generation, and you've seen your fathers and grandfathers serve the Lord. And let us not be like Belshazzar here that disregards what God has done in the generations that has gone before us. But may we learn from them. May we be found when we get placed on God's scale, when he weighs our hearts, that we will not find that we have been on the wrong diet, that we are actually on the right diet. So sad to see in that story how the generations that followed didn't follow or receive what God has done in the past. So let's get back to Gigo. Garbage in, garbage out. This morning I want to say to you and myself, as we start off this year, and you know, not that it's about lockdown and corona and these things. If that wasn't even there, I believe the message would have been the same. As we start off this year, what is going to be your diet? What are you going to eat in this year? What are you going to consume? What are you going to put through your spirit? And how are you going to grow? Am I going to be like Belshazzar that, you know, start questioning and disregard what God has done in the past? Or am I going to focus on what God has done, learn from it, and follow Him in every way? What you and I will take in this year is going to determine the outcome at the end of this year. The last thing I wanted is that I get placed on the scale and be found wanting. You know, and saints, it's been a hard year. You know, for some of us, the year hasn't started so good as well. But it's not an excuse to disengage. In actual fact, when the heat is on, when the trials are heavy, that is when we need to pursue God even more. So what a plan are you going to set out this year? Are you going to do the encounters in Bible school? Are you going to do the various courses that is going to be presented by various people? Are you going to, you know, step up your Bible memorization? Are you going to be at intercession? Are you going to step out and say, God, we're going to do different things? Last year we spoke about, you know, stepping into the anointing that God has for your life. And the reality is you need to be obedient to that call. You need to be obedient. And what does God want to do through you in this year? The scale of God doesn't lie. You know, for some, you are in a great space. And praise the Here therefore. And may you just continue. May you bear much fruit. May that which is on your life just continue to grow. But for some of those listening and that will still listen to this message, maybe you should just sit down and go, okay, Father, where am I? It is a question that even I've asked the Lord, is where am I weighing in? Where am I weighing in faith? Am I doing what you want me to do? Saints, the last thing I want to do is miss what God has in store for us, even as we are building this place. And again, I just want to make clear that this is only a tool for us. It is relevant in our culture to reach people in this way, and therefore we are doing this. But this is just a building. This does not determine whether I am walking by faith. This is only a tool. I'm excited about this thing, don't get me wrong. I'm so excited about God's place here. This window here, it's amazing. But how are you weighing in this morning? And maybe, you know, in this last couple of days or weeks, with all the information flying around and rumors of, you know, level 5 and level 4 and 3 and all the rest of it, maybe your heart withdrew. Maybe you know, even those questions just cause you to fall back a bit. And this morning I want to say to you, check your diet.